Would that all the people of God were prophets. Those are the words of Moses from our first reading. Would that all the people of God were prophets. We often hear the word prophet, and this wish that all of us would be prophets is an interesting kind of proposition because, in fact, that is what we actually believe has come true as Christians in our baptism. We've talked before about the three offices, the three ministries that we receive at our baptism, and those are the offices of priest, prophet, and king. Right after we would baptize a little baby, I take the holy chrism and dump it on their head and anoint them, just as in the Old Testament some would be anointed, a priest, a prophet, or a king. So in fact, in a way, we are all prophets, and Moses has got his wish. But much as it was a little difficult to understand maybe how we're all priests, and I talked about that previously, how priests offer sacrifice, and so all of us are called to offer sacrifice with our lives. That's how we're all priests. But how then are we all prophets? I think when we think of a prophet, you know, in modern times, we think of, well, someone who foretells the future. So when we think of prophets, we think of those televangelist people who are always predicting the end of the world. We're like, well, I don't want to be a prophet like that. If I don't have the gift to be a prophet, I just look dumb because I predict the end of the world and it doesn't happen. So how can I be a prophet if God hasn't given me knowledge of the future? Well, if we look to the Old Testament to see what the prophets did, prophets were not so much responsible for predicting the future. Rather, a prophet was someone who was called by God to stand right in the midst of his people right here and now and say, not this is what God says about the future, but this is what God says right now about what you're doing, about what's going on. The very word prophet comes from two Greek words. Pro is a prefix, meaning for or on behalf of, and phete would come from the word to speak or act. Then a prophet is one who speaks or acts on behalf of another. So prophets of God are just people who are called by God to come to a situation and say, this is what God has to say. This is what God wants to tell you. So if we look at the Old Testament and the prophets and what they did, a lot of times, it's true, they were sent to people when God wanted to give them a message of basically shape up or it's not going to go well in the future. So it can look like they're predicting the future, but really what they're doing is calling people to repentance. So many times God has to send a prophet to say, look people, you gotta change. This isn't good. And notice that the prophets do it in two ways. Sometimes it's words. We think of the great call of repentance, change. But sometimes it's actions too. Prophetic action is perhaps sometimes more powerful. The prophet in the Old Testament is called at one point when God's people are not doing what they're supposed to, and God knows that if they keep this up, they're going to be exiled. He has the prophet dig a hole in the wall with his hands and then pack all his belongings into his backpack and sneak out through the hole and leave blindfolded in the night. And he wants the people to say, hey, why are you doing that, prophet? And God says, you're to tell them that if you don't change, you will be exiled, that you will have to flee for your life, digging a hole in the wall in the middle of the night and go off in the darkness into exile. And the blindfolded part actually referred to the fact that the king would have his eyes put out eventually. A prediction of the future? It doesn't have to be. It ended up being a prediction of the future because Israel wouldn't listen. The key is to listen to the prophets when they come, and then it's not a prediction of the future. It's just God's fatherly warning in time. That's kind of what the prophets did in the Old Testament. Through their words and their deeds, they spoke about God to their present situation. So if we're going to be a prophet, that's kind of our mission too. Through our words and our actions, to speak God's message to the world. And that doesn't require any special knowledge of the future. It requires an intimate friendship with God. And if we have that, God will give us the message. If we're going to look to see how we can be the best prophet we can be, probably we ought to look at the greatest of all the prophets. And that, Jesus himself tells us, is John the Baptist. If we look at John the Baptist as kind of our model of how to be a good prophet, first thing we might think is that's a little scary, because wasn't John that guy eating locusts out in the desert with camel hair? First of all, where am I going to get camel hair? And where will I find locusts to eat? I don't even like them. It might be a little scary to look at John the Baptist as our great example, but he is truly the perfect prophet. Because you see, if a prophet is primarily supposed to speak on behalf of someone else, no one knows this and does this better than John. He leaps in the womb of Elizabeth from the first moment of his life when Jesus comes close. John's role is to point out Jesus. His life, he knows, is not about him. His whole life is meant to be about somebody else. We see this beautifully when Jesus comes out to the Jordan to be baptized. John famously says, "Behold the Lamb of God." He takes all the attention off himself and says, "There he is." He even takes his disciples and says, "Now, all you that have been following me, it's time to follow him. This is the one that my whole life has been about. This is the one I've been waiting for. There he is." And with that, John famously says then that, "Now I must decrease and he must increase." I think that's one of the most beautiful witnesses to us as to how our lives should be prophetic. Can we really say with our life that with everything we do, we're saying Jesus must increase and I must decrease? How often today we find ourselves preoccupied with me. How do I become more important? Why won't people pay attention to me more? How do I advance? How do I get higher on the ladder, more special? John gives us the more beautiful and more joyful example to say, "I must decrease that Jesus may increase." Truly prophetic. The other thing, though, that John has in his humility, notice that humility is not pretending to be less than you are. John says, "Yes, I must decrease," but not to the point that he just crawls in a hole and says, "Well, I have to just hide." That's not the kind of decreasing John has in mind. He wants Jesus to increase. So John is not afraid to speak. He's the most humble of all the prophets because he's not about himself. But at the same time, humility for John means that he's got to go talk. After all, what good is a prophet that doesn't speak the word of God? So John goes right to King Herod, and he speaks the truth. He tells Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herod had married the wife of his brother, and his brother was still alive. This was a clear violation of the law. And John sees this unraveling of marriage at his time as something that would undermine the whole of society. He knows how important it is, and he goes right, imagine going right up to the king, dressed in his little camel's hair and leather belt, and he says, "King, you can't do this. You have to stop." Think of the courage that would have taken. But again, it's the humility of a prophet to know that those aren't his words. These are the words God has given him. These are the words of the truth. Jesus is the truth, and John has come to bear witness. Notice what happens because of that. Herod eventually will have John beheaded. John gave his life for this truth. And I would just call your attention then to this important point. Notice why John died. Most of the martyrs, they die when the emperor or someone says, "Denounce your faith. Worship me instead of this God of yours." And the martyrs, of course, refuse and they're killed. Notice that that is not what happens in the case of John. Herod does not ask John, "Deny this Jesus. Renounce your faith." Herod doesn't even say, "Worship me. Show allegiance to me." All Herod asks of John is that he would remain silent where God asks him to speak. How many of us do that as well? That's our role as a prophet, to speak. How many times are we silent in the face of things we know are wrong? It's been said that for evil to exist, it only requires that good people do nothing. How often are we a bad prophet simply because we refuse to speak, either with our words or our actions? There's nothing worse than a prophet who will not speak the words he's been given. We think then of the worst example, perhaps, of a prophet, and that is Jonah. Jonah was, of course, given the words of God and said, now go speak. And he says, no, I'm not going to do it. And he gets in a boat going the opposite direction of Nineveh. And of course, we know what happens. God sends a big fish that eats him and spits him out on the shore at Nineveh. We can't undermine God's plan. And if he has made you a prophet, and he has, then you've got to speak with your life, with your words. Be open to that. Trust, like John did, that who knows what it may require. It may require your life. But probably, God's not going to ask you to do something that God is going to allow you to be killed for. We still have, to the most part, religious liberty in this country. No one's going to come in here today and blow us all up for worshiping. Don't expect to be demanded to witness to God in a big way like that. Deny your faith or I'll kill you. Probably not. Probably not. But do expect that probably before this day is over, at some point, God is going to put it on your heart that I need to say something. Maybe it's to your family member who didn't come to church today. Maybe it's in some situation where you know your kids aren't doing what's right. God will ask that of you. The question is, will you speak? Prophets speak the word of God. What message does your life give?